I've been meditating on different things this week to minister. But you know what? I was reading. Can I just be honest with you? I was reading an email, and Anne is our pastoral care, and she gives us updates. And she was giving us different updates about different ones in the church. And that's not information that goes out to everybody because we don't give everybody's information out. You may say, well, I don't want to come to this church because if I tell you something, everybody's going to know it. No, they won't. Not unless you tell them. So I'm just saying, we're very careful about that. But just sharing with us, and especially with some of the young ones in the church, my heart so much is for everybody in the church. You understand, Pastor Jay and I love you. You know, more than that, God loves you. Amen. God loves you. And we give him all the glory and all the praise. It's not about us. Pastor Jay and I are called for a purpose. But we have to glorify God so that he can work in your lives. And that's why we're in the ministry. Amen. So I don't want the glory. I may look nice up here, you know, but I don't want the glory. We want to give him all the glory and all the praise. And we just want to be vessels that God can work through in this place. Now, I want to share something in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. You know, we're supposed to pray for the young ones. It says in Galatians 4:19, while you're turning to Galatians 6, it says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. And that word formed means to transform, transfigure, formulate, impression. And really, the Word of God is being impressed into your mind to renew you to the Word of God as you receive it. That's right. But that only happens by faith. In other words, while you're sitting there, you're saying, Father, I'm asking you for light. I'm asking you for understanding. I'm asking you for revelation. And there are things that you can apply right there in your seat if you need to forgive somebody. For instance, you say, Father, I forgive them. But if you need to call somebody up on the phone when you leave here and put that to practice and tell them, hey, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes you can just say, you know, forgive me, Father, because you did something and somebody didn't hear you. So you just, but we need to get things right. We need to be walking in love. God loved us so much. He gave his life. And part of us loving God is to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's to not, and we don't talk about them negatively. We don't give their information. We, you know, if they're going through something and they share that with us, then we take it to prayer. Or we ask them, hey, you know, so-and-so's on my heart. Can I share that with them? And you understand, I would expect that if we don't know, that you share it with the pastor. You know, if somebody needs help in the congregation. But there may be something they're asking you not to say. So I'm just saying, you know, just zip it and keep it to yourself and pray for them. But I would encourage you, if they're dealing with some dire situation of some sort, they need to let the pastors know. Amen. They need to let our staff know. And we'll treat that right. Praise the Lord, because we care. Now it says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual. There you go. You who are spiritual. What does that mean? Those who have been working on already renewing their mind and developing their hearts. Growing up spiritually. Now, that doesn't mean just because somebody's young in the Lord that they aren't spiritual. But you understand, we're all growing and becoming skilled in using our faith and getting to know our Heavenly Father. You know, there's some people I know in this room better because I've known them for the last several years. But others that I may have only known for the last couple months or last couple weeks or what have you, I don't really know their character as much. So you're getting to know God's character. You're getting to know how you can trust him. And let me tell you something. It's not about just trusting man. We are to point to God so that you can trust him. And therefore, you don't put your trust in man in that way that you would God. You can put your trust in God and say, Father, you will never fail me. Man may fail me. My closest friends may fail me. Oh, I trust not. My pastor may fail me, you know? But we've got to put our trust in God first and foremost, and then we can handle when somebody fails us. And usually when somebody fails us, it's more us failing ourselves and condemning ourselves and what's projected, you know, from our life. We take things personal, put it that way. A lot of people aren't thinking about you as much as you think they are. A lot of people aren't disliking you as much as you may think. They may have had a bad hair day and did something wrong, but that doesn't mean they came to church to spite you. Amen. Hallelujah. So honestly, if somebody doesn't come up and hug you, or somebody doesn't shake your hand properly, or somebody puts their hand on your shoulder, abuse, you know. I mean, people have touched me in inappropriate places and I just went on, okay? I mean, everybody's at different levels. I mean, I've had men that inappropriately, and it just, get the ushers, call the police. No, 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 no. Now, I know what to do, okay? I know how to protect myself. And I've got some big ushers. So I would encourage somebody not to try to touch me inappropriately, you understand? I have methods and I know things, okay? All right. I don't know how I got off on that. I really don't. I'm just saying, don't take everything so personal. And I understand there's real abuse situations and what have you, but we just have to pray for people more than anything else. Believe the best in people. Realize that they're young Christians in the Lord, or they're young people in the Lord. And then there are wolves in sheep's clothing, very much so. And I believe that Pastor Jay and I have run most of them out of here. But trust me, if we see them, we'll run them out. If they don't want to get the wolf off and become a sheep, then we will take the shotgun and get them out. Okay. Well, moving right along. Okay. All right. Bear one another's burdens. We don't have a church shotgun, but moving right along. That was just, we've got ways that we will protect you. All right. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I need to have you understand something. Just like I said last time I ministered, I believe that was last Wednesday, wasn't it? Well, anyway. Yeah, two Wednesdays ago. There's a lot of weird things going on in the world, in the body of Christ, a lot of stuff getting into the church, especially through casualness. Well, if I wear jeans, does that mean I'm doing wrong? No, I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about casualness as far as your relationships to the Lord, and you know, I'm not saying wearing jeans is going to make your casual relationship to the Lord, but I will say this, we should honor what we wear, okay? We should honor the house of God and wear our best. But I'm not looking in the congregation and seeing who's wearing jeans or not, and if you are, then you're not spiritual. That I'm not saying that whatsoever. I'm saying casualness has gotten into the church by our lackadaisiness, by looking at the things of the world and then bringing that into the church, by trying to be politically correct and bringing that into the church, by accepting homosexuality and transgender and other things and bringing that into the church. When God said, you know, it's Adam and Eve. It's not Adam and Adam. It's not, you know, Adam and Steve. You've heard it all. It's just not. And we can't accept that in this church. But if you want to come and you want to renew your mind and just the simplistics of the Word of God, and let's just leave the confusion outside, and let's just simply go to the ABCs of the Word and learn about our relationship with the Lord, and learn how He loves us, and learn how we can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, learn about our redemption in Christ. These are things young people in the Lord need to know, because when they come to a church, they want to know what we're all about. And that's really what we're about, is just, let's be simple. Let's love one another. Let's help one another. And yet use wisdom. I can't invite everybody over to my house. You understand? I've got to use wisdom in that. But at the same time, I want to help people, and I want to be a blessing to them. Amen. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. Now, notice, bear one another's burdens. That really is saying, kind of come up alongside of them and help them. Now, you can pray for a young person in the Lord, and you can help a young person in the Lord in ways that you can't help somebody that's been in the church for several years. Because God expects those who know what to do it. I mean, you treat a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old differently. Right? And we've used the illustration, but I think it's a good one, that if a strapping boy comes in there, 15 years old, and says, Mom, I need a sandwich. Mom says, you go to the refrigerator. There's the loaf. There's the, you know, there's the deli. There's the mayo. Don't make a mess. Clean up after yourself. There you go. Because, you know, they want a sandwich before dinner. Well, go ahead. Get you a sandwich. But that doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, make everything for you. You know how to do it. But it would be different if your 5-year-old came in there and maybe he didn't get breakfast or lunch for some reason. He's hungry, you know. And, well, you're going to help make it. Right? If you don't, you're going to have a big mess on your hands. All right. So we come alongside those who are young in the Lord, and our heart is to help them. We can't do everything for everyone. Now, I've been known to go to people's house and try to help them. I will do everything I can do with not interfering with their boundaries, so to speak. I'm not going to push the door open and, bless God, you're going to come to church and you're going to grow in God. You know, that's not my job, okay? But if we can get people here, that's our job, to get them here. And we can pray for people, but, you know, you can rub all the hair off their head, but you can't use faith for them. So we need to teach them, and thus it says, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone. So we need to teach people. So there's a certain amount of us being able to use our faith for the young ones, being able to get them healed, get them blessed for a period, you understand, but we've got to teach them how to get it for themselves. But in the process, let's use mercy. Let's use compassion. Let's use the love of God. Amen. All right. So Pastor Nancy said something that I don't know if you've listened to her healing school on YouTube, but if you haven't, I would go there because it's just wonderful. And part 2 of Blind Bartimaeus, she made a statement. She said, some people hold such little compassion for people. If we are going to have fellowship with the Father, we are going to take on his thoughts about others. Now, taking on his thoughts about others is renewing our mind. You're going to have compassion. The Word has linked your health and how interested you are in other people. Yeah, the Word has linked your health and how interested you are in other people. She quoted James 5:16. And we'll read that in Amplified. It says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt continue, prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic, and it's working. But notice, pray for one another, not just for yourself. So let's go back to what Pastor was saying there. What did he do? Talking about James, he linked, you must care for somebody else if you want your healing. Wow. What do you mean? Well, let's see what else she has to say here. You're not earning it, but when you don't care for somebody, you are taking yourself out of position. So there you go. You see, because when we're not loving one another, then there's not assurance in our heart. And we see that. See, she's just talking about what the Word says. And in 1 John, what is it, around 3 there, it talks about there's two things that's the commandment. That is to believe and to walk in love. And if we're not walking in love, that's going to affect our assurance of receiving for ourselves. So it affects our assurance if we're not walking in love with other people. Amen? So you're not earning it, but you don't care for. But when you don't care for somebody, you're taking yourself out of position for healing to reach you. When you pray for someone else to receive healing, you're positioning yourself because now what you prayed for is going to boomerang back and bless your own life. So it does need to matter to you that others get what they need, that others get helped, that we need to be interested in someone besides ourselves. Recently, Ann was updating us, or somebody was updating us on I won't mention or embarrass them, someone that's been ministering to one of our daycare moms. And when they come in, they answer questions and they reach out to them. And that blesses me so much. And this is really a young person, you know, I think early 20s, they're a young person in the Lord, but yet they're doing what the Scripture says. They're walking in love. They're trying to help others. They're reaching out with the love of Christ and helping them. And this mom has different questions and such, and they're helping them and being a blessing to them. And that helps Pastor Jay and I so much. As a matter of fact, if we don't have people in the church that reach out like that, then people get a wrong impression of us. Did you know that you represent Christ? You represent Pastor Jay and I, but more than anything, you represent Christ. And when we have a heart to just not push the gospel off on people, but if we have a heart, I've told you more than once, things happen in Walmart. And I've been in Walmart more than once, and I was in line one day, and there was a man that he obviously was a war vet. He had kind of the attire. He had, I think, a PTSD dog, post-traumatic stress disorder dog, right? And I didn't know that until I got to talking to him because he shared that with me because I wanted to pet the puppy, you know. And I told him, I don't think you're supposed to pet him. He says, well, not really. Okay. But he seemed like a really sweet puppy. So anyway. But I saw him in the store, and something just went off in my heart. Now, notice that. Something went off in my heart. I just don't follow people around and try to stalk them because they have war attire on or they have a doggy, you know, that I want to pet or whatever, or I think that they need help. And because I know I have to be led by the Spirit, and we just need to use wisdom because some people just want you to leave them alone. But the Lord just dealt with me, and lo and behold, he was in front of me in line at the Walmart. Actually, yeah. And I just kept getting in my spirit, you need to pay for his groceries. And he didn't have that much, but still. I wasn't trying to, okay, let me add it up, and then I'll do it. No, the Lord said, pay for his groceries. So whatever it was what I was going to pay for, okay? And I could tell by what he got, it really wasn't all that much anyway. But so I kind of went in front of him, and he's kind of looking at me, and I said, ma'am, I'm getting his groceries. I'm getting his groceries. And I said, I just want to let you know, sir, that I appreciate your service. And this is something that I can do. You've done so much more. thank you for your service. And, you know, so I didn't start preaching the gospel to him and, you know, this type of, I just reach out with the love of God. So, and he was kind of shocked. He says, no, you can't, I'm getting a lot of stuff. And I said, oh, I said, well, you're not getting that much. I said, I'm getting more than you. You know, so we argued about that a little bit. And so he just opened up after that. So they were tallying up the groceries, and he just opened up, and I just let him talk. And I didn't tell him I was a pastor and all this. I just, you know, and then, but it did come up, and I finally did tell him. And immediately when he found out I was a pastor, he started kind of dodging the clothes bullet, so to speak. I know that people want to dress a certain way in church and this and that. And I'm like, it's not about that, sir. It's really not about that. We just want to share the love of Jesus with people. And I said, you know what? In Helps Ministry, we want people to dress a certain way and this and that because it helps present Christ in a right way when they're dressed appropriately. But we don't ask the congregation to come a certain way. You know, and I didn't say this, but, you know, as you renew your mind, you're going to want to look nice. I mean, okay, that's not a clothesline sermon. I'm just saying when you renew your mind, you'll even wear your best jeans. I mean, whatever. But anyway, sorry. Okay, we're going to get this thing. It's going to stay up there. I think we got it. All right. So he opened up, and so we got off that, and he was more at peace. But then he just shared what God was doing in his life. And then we were kind of walking out together, and he said, can I pray for you? And I said, of course. And this was kind of in the middle of the whole COVID thing and everybody having masks and this and that. And, you know, in all honesty, I didn't wear a mask in Walmart. Well, they asked you to, didn't they? Yes, they did, but it's not, I'm not going to offer that. Because it's my constitutional right to breathe, okay? I'm just saying. But if I've joked with people before, well, if you're going to get me down the ground and, you know, try to wrestle with me, okay, I'll put the mask on. I'm not going to make a scene of it, but I don't appreciate even being asked to put one on. And I did tell people that. And if you don't like that, you can take that to God yourself. And I know some people believe otherwise. Well, that's my constitutional right. Anyway, moving right along, I'm sorry if you didn't like that, but please pray for me. And so I let him pray for me. And the thing was, it wasn't about everything I could do for him. He was able. He left that store being able, well, I was used of God. I received his prayer. Amen. It wasn't about, well, I'm a pastor and, okay, I have another notch in my belt. I've reached out to this vet and, you know, praise the Lord, now I'm going to heaven. It's not about that. Besides, that's not how we get to heaven, is it? Right. All right. So Galatians 5, let's go there. Galatians 5. Come on, Mr. iPad, you can do it. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's start out. Well, that's good. All right, move right along. Okay. Let's read verse 1, Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. So what I would say to those of you, whether you're young in the Lord, or whether you've been in the church for some time, whether you've been a Christian for a long time, I would encourage you to let the past of yesteryear go and just see what God has for you today. If we can stop looking at yesteryear, if we can stop looking at the hurts of our past, although there are things that even happened to me, horrific things in my childhood, what have you, that I wouldn't wish on anybody. But there was a time and place where I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive other people. I had to just grow in the Lord and then let that go. So I'm not talking about somebody just, there's resolution that needs to come in your life. There's you need to resolve some things. And the only way that you can resolve some things is come and renew your mind. Amen. Develop your heart. What do we mean by develop your heart? Well, you grow in God's love. You let the seeds of love start to grow. How do you grow in God's love? You use your love. You start talking about how you love people. You forgive if there's somebody in your past that hasn't treated you right. You use your peace. There are a lot of people dealing with anxiety, and even reading Ann's email, there are a lot of people dealing with anxiety. Even those who have been in the church for some years. Now, granted, some people that have been in the church for some years and should be a strong Christian by now and should be helping others, but the enemy has taken them out with anxiety and oppression, and they may come to church, but frankly, I don't hear that they're really reaching out to a whole lot of people. And why is that? Well, many times we've talked to them. Many times we've told them, you really need to watch this. Not trying to be their great kahuna, yeah, but just by the Spirit of God trying to tell them, I'd really encourage you not to get out of Helps ministry and just be an island off to yourself. Yeah. Well, I just need time off for 6 months. I understand that, but there's something about being around the people of God and being involved in departments and that helps you. And when you put your hand to something, God's able, it affects your assurance. And I've never seen somebody get out of Helps ministry, maybe change departments or something, but just get out and just sit out and really get so blessed that they were growing and just spiritually developed, and they're just the healing that hasn't been working for them just happens for them, they're just prospered. It's usually the other way around. Because if they can't be faithful to Helps ministry, they're usually not faithful to using their faith. We're back to that, remember, at the offering. So usually somebody that's dealing with a lot of anxiety or oppression or something like that, we have talked to them. We have tried to minister to them. We have tried to let them know you may not want to, you may want to be careful about this thing here. Or be careful with this. Or, this is really going to bite you in the behind. Something like that. Now, young people in the Lord, they come and they're not even really involved with Helps ministry and that type of thing. They just need to sit and grow for a while. You understand? And we're teaching them really about the things of God, about their faith, about the fruit of the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace, and how we can stir that up, about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we can just edify ourselves in the Holy Ghost, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs around the house and just building ourselves up, just taking some time in prayer daily. You don't have to start out for 2 hours, but just start, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or, in the car, get CDs and just listen to them and just, and then eventually they're able to start using their faith and start putting that past behind them. Start letting those things go. Start forgiving. All right, so we're not trying to be condemning. Really, we're teaching people not to yield to condemnation. But when these things just linger on and linger on and linger on in our lives, in our homes, Pastor Jay and I, we try. We do our best to warn people. We do our best. Don't be out of church. This is the place where you're able to use your faith to get up and get out of bed. And Satan isn't going to have the upper hand on you while you're laying there in bed and he's going to be yelling in your ear and getting condemnation on you. And the next thing you know, you're yielding to sin and this type of things. And that's a progression that happens just because we start getting lazy even to come to church. And it says, forsake not the assembling together. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. So let's look at something here. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. And that word working means to be energized, operative. And our faith is energized through our love. Amen. Now, if you're sitting there and you're having a hard time with what I just said about the whole anxiety thing, it's because you're in anxiety right now. And I would just encourage you that the only reason that I would even bring that up is because we love you. The only reason, because we want to help you with God's word. But the only way that we're going to be able to help you is to tell you the truth. And anxiety is just the opposite of peace. So when we say we need to renew our mind to God's peace or renew our mind to the joy of the Lord, we mean we've got to use it in the midst of feeling the worst turmoil coming against our mind. Amen. But there are natural things that let this in. And when we get lazy physically, then these things, the enemy can get in. Yeah. That's why we tell people, if you don't work, you don't eat. Yeah. That's why we tell people, get involved with Helps Ministry. Yeah. Be around atmospheres that are conducive for your spiritual growth. Yeah. Not everybody can work the church, but some people need to be around the atmosphere. Yeah. There are some people that work at the daycare, and they're good workers, praise the Lord. But one of the things they said, I just need to be around the church. And I just say, I agree. Just to keep you out of trouble. Yes, you just need to be around the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. But so many people, they go back and forth, and they're back and forth in their jobs. Or, you know, if something isn't working out over several years, take note of that. Well, moving right along. That was all free. If we're pushing ourselves, if we're really wanting maybe to start a business of some sort, I know you want some more detail, so I'll get more detail for you rather than be so general. If you're just pushing and it's not working, just go get a job. Take care of your family. You won't have so much anxiety at home. You'll be able to sleep a lot better. Yeah, but God told me to do this. It's probably more you told yourself you needed to do that, and it's not working, so you're putting it off on God, and anxiety is pursuing in your life. All right? And we're trying to help you. We are trying to help you. So just go get a job. Learn to get more rest. Take some vitamins. Amen. And it's going to be better for you. Put some good CDs in the car of Pastor Jay and myself and praise the Lord, pray in the Holy Ghost. It's going to be better. But if you start laying out of church, and I'm saying this, you know, to the couch potatoes, the internet and couch potatoes right now. If you're sitting out there and you haven't been to church for the last several weeks, that's not right. Well, it's all because of COVID. Well, we're over COVID. You need to get over COVID. I've been over COVID. I'm not sitting on the flu. I'm not sitting on COVID. I'm not sitting on anything else. My Bible tells me to go lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Okay, and we can use wisdom and all that. All right? But the minute they let us open the door, we were here. And that's what we're going to continue to do. Because the devil doesn't want us to come to church. And you say, well, why do you say that? You may run those people off. They're already sitting on the couch. All right? Come home. Come home. Nobody's going to embarrass you. If you want to wear a mask, go ahead. Just come home. Okay? I kept hearing that in my spirit last night. Come home. Woke up in the middle of the night. Come home. Come home. I know this is a different message. I don't think I can give you 5 points in a poem. I know it's different. I know it's different. We're not, and I even prayed for certain ones that they would be watching or they would attend this morning. Because I want them to understand I'm not trying to put you down. Just trying to help you. And in the things that are going on in the world, you can't build your faith sitting on the couch. And you try to get up and just go and just muscle through it. But that's why anxiety is ensuing in your life. That's why things aren't working out. That's why symptoms of sickness and disease. That's why you think you have COVID. Or you think you're going to get it. You know, we just have to get up and cast the fear off. The church has to get in the face of these things and say, we cannot be afraid. Let's use wisdom. Let's use natural wisdom. But God did not bring the church about to sit at home and watch live stream. Okay. So just come on home. I appreciate the comments on the live stream and, you know, amen, praise the Lord and all this. We'll just come to church and say it in person, okay? Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Debbie, you're going to lose some people. It's not about people. It is about people. I didn't mean to say that. It's not about losing people is what I meant to say. It's about telling people the truth so they can be free from these things, these bondages that are holding them back. And there's if you are going to bed with anxiety, you can't breathe at night, natural things set in, a lot of it is spiritual. Now, there are natural things going on, but a lot of it is spiritual. And if we will get these things right with God, it may take a process. You understand? I've messed up before. I've done things. You know, I've messed up before. And it took me a little while to get my footing back, but we got there. And we just got in faith. And it's like, Lord, I know by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes I'm free from oppression. So I'm not going to, in other words, I may feel the oppression coming against my mind. I may feel symptoms of sickness and disease. I may feel like the devil, you know, is trying to take me out. But by faith, I'm gonna take time. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to believe that I receive. It's kind of like Pastor Nancy said, Friday night? And she mentioned that she was sitting there and she was dealing with some symptoms. And the Lord just said, it's about receiving. It's about receiving. She said, well, I just believe that I receive. She said, the symptoms just left. I'm not going to promise you that when you believe that you receive, all the symptoms are going to leave. Because what God is asking us to do is have faith. And what she taught on that night was calling. And our words. What are we saying? Amen. So I can give you 5 points in a poem, but what I really want to do is get in your Kool-Aid this morning. Like Miss Sandra says. I want to get in your Kool-Aid and stir it up a little bit so that you can get some help. And if you're dealing with anxiety, if you're dealing with oppression of mind, it's nothing that the Word of God can't handle. If you're uncomfortable, even now, it's okay. That's just your flesh. It's all right. If you feel like, I just want to run out of here. Yeah, I know, that's your flesh. I felt like that plenty of times before, and I'm the pastor. Okay? It's your flesh. But when we renew our mind and develop our hearts, and we learn to speak to these things, and we learn to use our faith, it will change. And there are times, and I've said it before, and I said it here recently, I believe at a service in Kansas City, there are times I didn't think I was going to be able to get up and come to church because I was dealing with symptoms. But God got me through that. And I spoke to it, and I was speaking the word, and I had my CDs going, and I was getting ready and sweating bullets, just trying to get out of the door, and you feel like you got to change again. But you just get up and you go. And it turns around. And I've said, Lord, any natural thing I need to know, that's fine. But I'm putting your word first. And I've said it before, I take a boatload of vitamins, and if I learn of something that can help me, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't have a problem with that. I'm not trying to fight against natural things. God gave us natural things to help us. So whatever will help me, I'm okay with it. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm words, putting God first. Every morning when I get ready and I'm making my breakfast, I call my heart healed. I call my nerves healed. I call my joints healed. I call my body well. In Jesus' name. I do my kind of exercises and different things like that. And I eat my food in faith and take my vitamins in faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go down to verse 13. So faith works by our love. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So we are to serve one another, not get in everybody's business, but just see if we can help one another. It says, be a slave to, do service, yield to, give oneself up to. Remember in Acts chapter 6, we saw the disciples. And really, let's just turn there real quick, and we'll make a point there, then we'll go back. I love this scripture. And it says in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Well, we have a lot of that going on in the church, and we talk to our staff all the time. Let's make sure that people aren't falling through the cracks. Let's find out where people need help. Amen. So they needed to find out. People were falling through the cracks. They weren't getting served. Verse 3 there, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. In other words, spiritual people. People that have faith, because wisdom are those who hear and do, according to Matthew 7:24, those who are built on the rock, and they need to be full of the Spirit, praying in tongues, building themselves up so that they can help others. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer in the ministry of the word. And there are times Pastor Jay and I aren't always in the office. And there are times when I'm endeavoring to take time to pray for people and just hold them up before the Lord and what have you. And God's even dealt with me, you know, even more so to do that. Yeah. Just take more times. But I need your help in that. And these people that they chose, just like Stephen, he stepped out in great signs and wonders. Yeah. But this was somebody who was serving tables in the church. So it's not about just being called upon to teach a Bible study in the church. It's not about being called upon to do something, whether it's on the worship team. I mean, that's good and great if that's where your talent lies and we believe that that's the right place for you and you're ready for that. Just because you have talent doesn't mean we're going to put you on the worship team. Amen? Yeah. I mean, praise the Lord. We will put somebody that doesn't have talent on the worship team before we will somebody that does have talent that is not spiritual. But we're blessed by our worship team, aren't we? So anyway, they were serving tables, but they were people who were full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. Why? So that they could help others. Not necessarily get in their business and try to counsel them and be parking lot prophets and that type of thing, but to point them to God's Word. We should know enough about the Word to just be able to share it with others without trying to tell them how to live their life, what job they need to get, this and that and the other. You understand? And when it needs to be more specifics, they need to make an appointment with the pastors. Not that I don't trust people, but in all honesty, I don't trust some people. All right? Because they're not graced to be the pastor like we are. And they're not always going to understand the best interest of what that person needs. So stick with the Word. And, you know, just don't be a Word tape recorder to people. You know, just spitting out scriptures all the time. Just be a friend to individuals. Just love on them. Did you know you can be acting out of scripture and they don't even hear the scripture? And yet they go home saying, wow, they are really spiritual. Why? Because you walked in love with them. Because you showed that you cared. You took time. Amen? So let's do that. Let's do that. Amen. So let's go back. Through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So what would you want people to do for you? Let's reach out to people in the same way. Some people don't love themselves enough, so I don't really want to ask them to reach out to others in the same way. Because you need to love yourself more. When we let God love us and we really find out why we're here and we find out who we are in Christ and we start developing ourselves, we are loving ourselves. We are loving God and we are loving ourselves. And get this, we're loving the brethren because when we become skilled in our faith, then we're able to reach out to others and help them. And we're able to pray for the young people. And we're able to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, even those who have been around for years, because we love them. If you hear that somebody's been in the hospital or, you know, right now, I don't even know if they're allowing people to go back to the hospital. That was about the most ungodly thing ever. You can't go to the hospital to be with people. Can't go to the nursing homes. Don't get me off on that. Other than it's diabolical. It's not right to not be able to go and love on your loved ones. That's what God made us to do. Amen. Elderly people need our hugs. They need our love. If they don't want me to hug them, I won't hug them. But you know what? A lot of times they come to me with open arms wanting a hug. It's like, come on. I mean, I've had people ask me, can I give you a hug? I never stopped giving them. Well, moving right along. That was all free. Okay, so we're gonna move this on here. Hallelujah. All right, Divine Healing and Health for Today, page 173. All right? Page 173. And I'm going to read Philippians 2, 1 through 4 here. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. So this is chapter 8, walking in love, forgiveness, mercy, and compassion in the book, Divine Healing Health for Today. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And that's what Pastor Nancy was saying. We need to be interested in people. And in this day and age, understand, there are people out there hurting. And we're going to have to help bring them in through our workplaces, through our families, you know, through the live stream. I wasn't talking to the, I was talking to the church people that are the couch potatoes. I wasn't talking to those who just happen to be on live stream sitting on the couch. Or the young people in the Lord that don't know much about the church. They were probably laughing at that. But the people that haven't been come to Spirit of Faith Family Church, and they're supposed to be members here, they're the ones that I was addressing, sitting on the couch. Where are you going to run them off? They're already ran off. They're already sitting on the couch. Have been for the last several weeks. This is, it's a rescue to get them off the couch into the ministry. Amen. Helping the body of Christ. Not just into the church, but they need to come back to church. Why? So they can get the teaching of the word that's anointed. Because there's a cap on the anointing when you're sitting on the couch eating potato chips while I'm preaching. All right. And you understand that when we're watching meetings that are out of state or something, or maybe dealing with symptoms, that's one thing, but when we're just, that's our church. That's not right. We need to be in the church putting our hand to helps ministry. And we need to be growing in our spiritual growth, listening to CDs, confessing the word, praying in the Holy Ghost, so that when we go to Walmart and we meet the vet or we meet somebody that just needs us to love on them, we're ready for it. When we meet the person that needs to get out of the wheelchair and God tells us, lay hands on them, we can lay hands on them. I don't know how many people at Walmart I paid for their bill. Now, that's not kudos to me. I remember one lady who was just really distraught. She was in front of me. And she's like, oh, my goodness, I forgot my wallet. And I said, oh, no, no problem. Just put it on mine. She looked at me, and she's like, what? And I said, no, just put it on mine. She said, no, you don't know how much this is. And I just put it on mine. I'm fine. She says, you don't understand. I make cakes for a wedding. And I'm already late, and I just have all the ingredients. And if I had to go home and do this, I'm not going to make it in time. I said, it's okay. I said, it's covered. And I always put God in there somehow. I'm not trying to. And I said, you know, God has blessed me. Okay? So, yeah, I got it. She says, well, let me give you a card, and you contact me, and I'll send it in the mail. I said, that's not why I'm paying for it. I said, you don't need to do that. She says, well, I want to give you a cake or something. I think I gave it to Teresa. And I said, if we need a cake, then, you know, here, get a hold of her. But I wasn't doing it for that reason. All right? But those times, if we're not renewing our mind to who we are in Christ, our flesh is going to say, you're not paying for her meat. You're not paying for that. We got things to do with our money. And you're in because your mind's not renewed, all right? All right, moving right along. And we've got to be led by the Lord. We just don't throw our money out needlessly to everybody that holds up a sign and says, you know, work for food. All right. So the connection between walking in the unconditional love of God and receiving divine healing and wholeness in the physical body is seldom emphasized in the body of Christ today. However, all Christians need to understand that healing requires more than just pushing a button or pulling a lever, and out of the heavenly slot machine comes their answer. we need to better understand how walking in the love of God will help to assure our hearts in receiving all the redemptive promises we have in Christ. And that's something that I wrote in my book, Divine Healing and Health for Today. When we have hearts to give our entire lives and resources to unconditionally, unreservedly serve God and His kingdom, then we empty ourselves of all self-promotion and carnal desires. We lay down offenses and quickly yield ourselves to using the love of God within. We express our faith by consecrating, separating our lives, plans, and fleshly desires, and sharing the love of Jesus, wholeheartedly serving those in the world around us. You know, and that just isn't limited to our families. We love our families. But giving our lives daily, first and foremost, to those in the local church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. You understand? But then just reaching out as the Spirit of God leads us and directs us. And having a heart, that's why I'm coming to church. That's why I'm putting my hand to the plow of ministry. You know, Pastor Jay and I have talked about this. If it's ever about just us becoming popular or something like that, we really don't want any part of that. And you know Pastor Jay, he would live off in the wild and drink rainwater and eat cornbread, whatever. As long as you give him a deer stand, right, Matt? Yeah, exactly. But it's not about us, it's about people. And it's about taking the message of Christ first and foremost. That is the most important thing, is to get people saved. Amen? To save them from an eternity in hell. But then we get them growing up in the Lord so they can stay saved. We get them growing up in the Lord so that they can benefit the kingdom of God and benefit others. So it's important that we come and we school ourselves in these things. Amen? So the Greek word for love is agape, and it means yielding to charity, brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, or God's willful direction toward man. Walking in this God kind of love differs from phileo, or human love, which means an emotional type of love indicating feelings, warm affection, or the kind of love expressed by a kiss. Yeah, so we understand that, don't we? In the book Faith on Trial, and you can go to page 185 through 186 and read this, Faith on Trial, concerning the agape love, the complete word says, the complete word study Bible says, and is it okay to read something here?
Yes.
I know it's gotten quiet in here, but you're just listening, right? With reference to God's love, it is God's willful direction toward man. It involves God doing what he knows is best for man and not necessarily what man desires. For example, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave." What did he give? Not what man wanted, but what God knew man needed, i.e. his son, to bring forgiveness to man. Amen? God's love gave that we would have his life on the earth and a hope of an eternity in heaven. Jesus emptied himself and gave that we might have the same love whereby God loved us. He brought salvation, deliverance, wholeness, soundness of mind, freedom, that we would be redeemed from the curse of the law and freed from the enemy's bondage. We were talking about bondage. Oh, what a God of love. Are you awake today? Man really had no idea what he needed, but God gave him the best he had to offer, his son.
Yes.
To bring propitiation, atonement by Christ's blood for the sins of mankind. What an amazing love God expressed in bringing Jesus to earth in order to teach man by example, an example of yielding his life on the cross and redeeming man back from Satan's hold of sin. God directed his love toward us when he provided Jesus as a sacrifice for our sin. He directed his love toward us that we might use his grace and nature of agape within, and God directed his love toward us that we might direct our love back to him. Let's read a little more there that I wrote. Following Christ's example, fulfilling the law of love. And we read in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. You can just write that down. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators, followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and in sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. When we truly follow the character of Christ within, then others will see our example of the God kind of love. We are to be examples of Christ by living the life of love. We are not to just rely on our great preaching abilities to share Jesus. Rather, we first show our godly example and love for others by living the life of Christ's love. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed, action, and truth." When others see the fruit of God's benevolent nature working in our lives, then they will more likely listen to our testimony. If we are expressions of God's character, then others will ask, why are we different from those in the world around us? Otherwise, if we do not serve with love, then why would someone want to know about the Jesus we serve? We give ourselves as Christ gave himself. By being examples of the moral standard of his word and the fruit of our inner man, which includes serving others. Colossians 3, 1, 2 says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, long-suffering." And that's what we were talking about. You're going to have to do some long-suffering with some younger Christians because their minds aren't necessarily renewed. We shouldn't have to long suffer as much with those who are more spiritual. They shouldn't be putting us to the test to have to constantly walk in love. They should have already become more skilled in these things. Where are you in that? I just want to ask, where are you in that? Do you know much about walking in love? Give yourself time to learn God's word. Don't condemn yourself so much. Well, I'm trying. Well, yes, that's the best thing. The word of God will wash you. The washing of the water of the word. But there are those in the church that have been here long enough yet get offended at every other person. That's what I'm trying to say. Galatians 4, 4 through 9, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So we're teaching people who their father is. And how much amazing love he has for them. And by being examples of that love on a daily basis in everything we do. And we're all growing in that. People are watching you. People are watching your marriage. People are watching the way that you talk. People are watching the way that you walk. People are watching the way that you work. People are watching your example here at church. And they want to know if you're living it out there in the world. Amen? Are we walking in love? Are we loving God? Are we loving others? Are we serving others? Are we going alongside those who are young in the Lord and helping them? Helping to carry the load because they're learning, especially for those who are learning. Are we compassionate to those who, although they've been in the church for several years, maybe they've fallen in some way, but yet we're going to love them because we've been there and done that. So we're not going to throw them out. Amen. Not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater here. But at the same time, we need to get some of the babies out of the beds. Get them growing up so that we can take care of the other babies. And learn redemption. So let's get back to what we need the most, renewing our mind, developing our hearts to what? To God's Word. And let's go to Luke 4 very quickly. Luke 4. And we'll start out Luke 4 and verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And this is why Jesus came to the earth. And we're supposed to follow the example of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Brokenhearted, that means even shattered. Maybe you have been shattered in your life. Maybe you are dealing with situations that you just don't know how to get through. Jesus came for that very reason. And we as the church are to be examples of those who are compassionate and merciful, and we're able to just reach out with the love of God to help those who have been in shattered positions, who are now dealing with that. You know, as a young Christian girl, I never came to resolve the situation of the sexual abuse that happened to me as a child. Not my family, but somebody in the neighborhood. And it happened for a couple years. I never resolved that. And I just got in the church and just went whole hog and was excited about becoming a Christian and living for God. And then all of a sudden, that came. And I realized that I didn't forgive. I didn't forgive myself. And I realized that there were things that were just thoughts coming to my mind. Even, and you excuse me if there are young people in here, but even in our marriage bed, things affecting me, thoughts coming to my mind. And I felt so condemned about that. And I needed to resolve that. And at the time, I went to counseling, a Christian counselor and what have you. And just having somebody that would listen, it's like, wow, I felt loved, you know. I'm sorry I had to pay somebody to do that, but most of the church don't know how to help someone in that situation. And that's okay. But, you know, today to recommend someone in counseling, it's usually they pull you out of your church or make you think that you're what you're not. Well, move right along. I know, been there, done that. I got the counselor saved, okay? So I went to counseling for a period, and my friend, you know, Kate McVeigh, y'all know Kate, she says, "Deb, you get the counselor saved. You're so funny." But Kate was a friend to me when this stuff started coming up, and we were in the midst of ministry, in our younger ministry and such, and I just kept trying to push it back down. And you know, I had heard the word, thought I had my mind renewed, preached it all the time, went to Bible school, but just truly learning to let the past go, to take in God's love, to forgive myself, and just renew my mind and move on was something that took me a while to do. I know. Y'all been there, done that? You understand? But I had to forgive myself. And I had to forgive the people that were involved with that. You understand? And we have Now, in this day and age, there's a lot of rescue. I believe very strongly, whether you do or not, you know, it's between you. But there's a lot of rescuing of children that have been involved with pedophilia and things like that. And the church is going to have to step it up. We're going to have to be very wise. It's different in ministering to somebody who's been sexually abused. You understand? And the church is going to have to be very wise. But more than anything, bringing them into the church, making them feel loved. They are just like anybody else. They are normal. But yet, horrific things have happened to them. So we allow them to tell their story. And we allow them to resolve that. And then we teach them. And I have had people many times in my office, and I said, you can talk about what you've been through if you need to. If you don't want to, that's fine with me. I'm not trying to push anything. All right? But if you need to resolve that and you need to talk about it, go ahead. And that's been, you know, some people were shocked. It's like, oh, really? Yeah. Go ahead. And I would minister to them, and then we would take hands afterwards, and by faith, Lord, I forgive. I lay this down. And I just told them, this is something that the enemy is going to come back to you and try to stir up. And the feelings will be there for a while, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. And when you renew your mind with the Word of God and develop your spirit in the love of God, I love people. You know, I can even say I loved my abuser. I actually prayed for him. That wherever he was, if he was still alive, that God would minister to him. And I also prayed, if he's still a predator, that he'd be taken off the streets. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. So there are people that are brokenhearted out there. But we're anointed to minister to them. Jesus was anointed, and we're to follow his example. You understand, we're not all in the fivefold ministry, and there are different anointings involved with that. But we're all to lay hands on the sick. We're all to join together and help other people. But if we can't help ourselves, you know, Christians are a resilient people. And they can be dealing with sickness and disease. They can be dealing with a lot of different things. But yet when they see a person in need, that heart of compassion just... And I know you are like that. The people in this church, I know there's some of you that you have been dealing with trials and things that have come against you that it looks like it's not going to change, but you know it is by faith. And you're not going to sit down on a couch and watch live stream. But you're here, some of you dealing with pain. You came anyway. Because you know it's turning around. You know who you are in Christ. And you are reaching out to other people in love. I applaud you. I applaud you. That in the midst of what we're dealing with, in the midst of feeling shattered ourselves, in the midst of hurting, we can reach out to other people and say, God's got it. And especially the younger ones, don't say to them, just get over it. There's a time and a place for that. Okay? My best friend wrote the book on that. Get over it. Talking about Kate. And so anyway, but there's a time and a place to get over it. You understand? And Kate, she is somebody who I won't even mention their names. I mean, there are celebrities that God has helped her get to and minister to and get them saved that I can't even tell you their name, okay? She has been a tremendous blessing. She was the one who, in the midst of me feeling like I wasn't going to make it, she loved me. And she didn't treat me like I was demon-possessed, you know what I mean? Some people, they just keep you at arm's length. You're going through anything, oh, stay away from me, I don't want that all, get off on me. So he set at liberty those who are oppressed. So we have to be careful not to just invite people over to our house and just let oppression in. You understand? We've got to use the wisdom of God. But at the same time, loving people does entail getting to know them, talking to them. And if the Spirit of God deals with you, even befriending them to the place, inviting them over to your home for dinner. Maybe in groups first. You understand? You got to get to know people. You got to get to know their motives. There's some people that come in the church and their motives aren't right. And they get in your home and they try to, you know, ransack it. Steal stuff. Well, anyway. No. We're not saying, just use wisdom. Just use wisdom. There was a friend who was talking about inviting somebody over, and they went in the other room. I guess the person stole several things. But anyway, praise the Lord. We have to use wisdom, okay? We have to use wisdom. Why don't you stand up? I think more than anything, I was sharing out of my heart today, and I don't want anybody to think that I don't want to put anyone down, okay? But we need to speak the truth to what helps people. And that's different to those who are young in the Lord, to those who have been Christian for some years and or now in the church for some years and even into leadership of the church or what have you. As a matter of fact, what I saw, I want all of the coordinators and the team leaders to come up here. Line up, right up here, if you would. Coordinators and team leaders. And I'm not trying to leave anybody out, because if you're not a team leader, doesn't mean that you're not a tremendous blessing. You can just stand and turn around and look at people. There you go. It doesn't mean that you're not a blessing, because everybody, you know, I'm looking at people, it's like, y'all are such a blessing. But the reason I'm doing this is because I saw this in my spirit, and I want the young people in the church who just need somebody to talk to, who just need somebody to pray with. Here's your people. Amen. You can trust these people. Now, are they perfect? I'm not going to claim that. But we don't put our trust in people. We put it in God. But I will say, we vetted these people. We know their hearts, and we believe they're right. And really, there's several other in the congregation that are too. They're such a blessing. And as you get to know people in the congregation, you're going to know who you can trust or not. You understand? Okay? Just because somebody's a team leader and coordinator doesn't make them any better to reach out ministers. Matter of fact, we all ought to. You know the story about the farmer who went around ministering, laying hands on the sick. And, you know, people, well, you must be in the ministry. No. I'm just helping people. I'm just taking Jesus. Just getting people healed. Didn't feel anointing in his hands. He was just doing the Great Commission. Amen. So you need somebody to talk to. You need somebody. Are they perfect? Well, are you perfect? Let's reach out to one another. And I would encourage you all, if you haven't lately, pray for the young ones, that Christ be formed in them. Amen? Let's take time to pray the Ephesians prayers and the Colossians prayer, and to pray in the Holy Ghost for people. Every time I drive to church, I pray for our church. Usually on a daily basis, I pray the Ephesians prayers for several people. I go through a whole list of people. I cover the president. I cover the military leadership. I cover the leadership in the political realm. And I'm even praying for those leaders in the world. No, I don't mention all their names. I don't know them all. Yin Yang and I don't know. But I pray for them. And I pray for my family and Pastor Jay's family. I take it for myself by faith. I pray for Pastor Nancy, of course, and her family. And Dr. Dufresne's girls that he left. And their families. Amen? I pray for our church. Well, for the ministry first, because there's a progression there. I pray for our ministry. I pray for the church. I pray for the daycare. I pray for, you know. So, I do that several times during the week, just praying for people. But the Lord, and, you know, praying in the Spirit as well. But the Lord's challenging me to even step that up. And I think we need, I mean, I don't think, I know, we constantly have to look at, okay, have I laid some things down? Or is it just another level of going up? Maybe I never got to the level. I just need to step it up. You understand? But that's what the church is about. And when we're hurting, what's that saying? Where we go, one goes all. Where we go, one, we all. Yell that out. Where we go one, we go all. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the unity of the body of Christ. And this church, Father, although we're not any more special than any other church, we give ourselves to you to help, to learn, to become skilled. Father, forgive us if we haven't taken our place in any area, but help us to be more in tune, Father. Enlighten our eyes to be in tune, to step up. Yes, in our own families, in this local church, and those around us in the world, to step up. Make sure that we're praying for, ministering to, helping people get saved, healed, filled with the Holy Ghost, even at the expense of people laughing at us, calling us names, because in the long run, it doesn't matter. When we're in heaven, it doesn't matter. Help us to see wisdom in reaching out to other people. Help us to help the hurting make their day by somebody who just reaches out to them in a special way. Father, help us to see reaching out to hurting humanity, but to start in our families and in our local church. And we're just going to take just a couple minutes. We're going to pray for the young ones. And we give the young ones in this local church to you, Father, and those who you're bringing in, and even on live stream who are tuning in all over the world. We give them to you, Father, and we ask you, enlighten their eyes that the word might be impressed upon their minds, that their hearts would be developed, that they would see their in Christ realities, that they would see to let the past go and to move forward in you, to let oppression go and to move forward in you. Father, help us to see, to reach out, to call by the phone, or to just love on somebody who needs it today, this week, this month. Father, those who are hurting in this church, we're praying for them. Those who need a friend, that their eyes would be enlightened, that the best friend is Jesus. To trust you and to turn to you in their time of need. Oh God, that you would enlighten their eyes to this truth. And Father, that we could be a friend to the needy, to the hurting, coming along beside them and helping them to carry their burdens, teaching them by our example, by our words, by our lifestyle, Thank you, Lord. And I would encourage you in this room to just continue to just, Lord, is there somebody that needs my prayers? And that may be a young Christian in the Lord. That may be somebody who's been here for quite some time. Just take time, because Pastor Jay and I, you know, this comes to me often, and just praying for people. So, and I ask the Lord about people, and there are times I'll call Christine and say, hey, I want to meet so-and-so, and tell them they're not in trouble, just reaching out to them, okay? So let's do that. You can go back to your seats. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you all. God is so good, isn't he? God is so good. So thank you for just allowing me to take just a little extra time. And this was a different message. It was kind of a shotgun sermon. And I don't know that I had all my T's crossed and my I's dotted. But you know what? If you got the message, that's all that matters. Amen.